Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening for your love and your mercy. Thankful for the privilege of gathering together to study a portion of your word. We recognize that the human mind cannot understand or comprehend anything that is spiritual apart from the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So it is a request that the Holy Spirit will enable each and every one of us to perceive precisely what you have for us this evening. This is a request in Christ's name. Amen. Before we get started, I want you to remember Miss Flossie in your prayer. The husband departed this afternoon to be with the Lord. So please reach out to her and support her in any way you can. It just happened this afternoon, so nothing has been said about the funeral yet. We're moving now to Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 through 13. Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 through 13. It reads, "For 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops. But during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they leave. Do the same with your vineyards and your olive groves. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household and the alien as well may be refreshed. Be careful to do everything I have said to you. Do not invoke the names of other gods. Do not let them be heard in your lips." Now this section of Exodus 23 verses 10 through 13 is a tenth law of community living in Israel that is concerned with the individuals in their relationship to God. Now the first 9 laws that we consider were mostly directed to other individuals, and that obedience of these laws affect the well-being or the welfare of others. For example, the laws that govern treatment of Hebrew slaves or parents certainly affect slaves or parents. Now, likewise, the laws that govern theft or justice or the disadvantage affects another individual. But the 10th law that we're about to consider, although it benefits the poor, it primarily affects or benefits greatly an individual that obeys it. And of course, it also says much about the individual's faith in the God of Israel, as we state shortly. Now, the 10th law then of community living in Israel is concerned with observance of 2 kinds of Sabbath. The first is the Sabbath of Yays, described in Exodus 23, verses 10 and 11. The second is the Sabbath of Days, given in verses 12 and 13. Now, on the surface reading of the passage, one may say that the word Sabbath does not appear in the text, so that I should not use the word Sabbath to characterize this section. True, the word Sabbath is not directly used in the passage, but the concept of Sabbath is found in it. Now this we can observe first from the word rest that appears in verse 12. Now that word rest that we'll examine later conveys the idea of Sabbath, since the Hebrew word Sabbath that is translated Sabbath also means day of rest or rest period. Thus then, the idea of rest involved in our passage reminds us that our passage is concerned with Sabbath. Furthermore, the phrase the seventh day of verse 12 certainly reminds us of the Sabbath, since the seventh day had already been designated to Israel as the Sabbath in the Ten Commandments, as we may gather from Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. Exodus chapter 20, verse 10 reads, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your God. On it you should not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates." Hence, although the word Sabbath is not used in the section that we are about to study, it is indeed concerned with the idea of Sabbath, and so we are correct then in describing the 10th law of community living in Israel as being concerned with Sabbath, although the word Sabbath is not technically used in it. Now the 10th law then of community living in Israel that is our concern is to be understood as an instruction to Israel, which is, the instruction to Israel is simply this: give rest to their farmlands after 6 years of farming activities, and to humans after 6 days of work while learning and being obedient to God's word. So this, the instructions to them is, okay, give rest to your land after you farm for 6 years. Now give rest to humans and the animals after you they work for 6 days. And you, and if you do this, you learn and you be obedient. Now without doubt, Israel was expected to obey this instruction literally. However, the command given is intended to teach Israel to trust in Yahweh to provide for their needs as they obey his instruction. Now it is true that in our passage there is no elaboration of this law, but from another passage we can deduce that instruction is intended to convey to Israel that their God cares about them, and we see to it that they are well supplied with their necessities when they obey the law specified. Now normally a person will wonder how a farmer could leave planting a whole year and still be able to survive. In fact, Yahweh knew that his people would no doubt think about their survival if they were not to farm their fields for a whole year. Therefore, he promised to provide them the abundance of produce in the 6th year of farming activities that would sustain them for 3 years, as recorded in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 20 through 22. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 20 through 22. It reads, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 20 reads, "You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in." Doesn't the promise of this passage is one that tests whether Israel will trust that Yahweh will do what he promised, and if they will continue to believe in his power to sustain them when they obey him. Now, be that as it may, our concern is with the message that is applicable to us believers in Christ from this passage of Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 through 13. That is, of course, the focus of our study. Now, we indicated that instruction to Israel based on this passage is to give rest to their farmlands after 6 years of famine activities that they are involved in, and to humans after 6 days of work while learning and applying or being obedient to God's word. Now, we have stated that the instruction given to Israel was intended to teach them to trust Yahweh to provide for them. Therefore, the message that we believe the Holy Spirit wants us to hear from this passage is this: trust that God will provide for you as you do your work, and take time to rest your body while you also devote your time to study and obey his word. Again, the application: trust that God will provide for you as you do your work, and take time to rest your body, what many of us ignore. Take time to rest your body while you also devote your time to study and obey his word. Again, many of us don't do that. Now, our focus on the message that is conveyed in this passage does not mean that the literal requirements set in it could not be applied today. But we recognize that no society is technically Israel of the Old Testament time under God's rule. Now, I know of a people that practice this principle of Sabbath years, although not following all the details. Now, this practice among others, of course, is one of the things that helped to establish the Hebrew heritage of that group of people. Nonetheless, it will be beneficial if farmers practice what we have in the passage, in that it might reduce much reliance on fertilizers. Of course, to practice what we have in this passage requires faith in the God of the Bible and willingness to ignore pressure that might be brought to bear on a farmer because of competition with others who do not believe in the God of the Bible. So my point is that while our focus is on the message that is conveyed in this passage, that it is not impossible to literally follow this instruction in our world today. That's my point. We can follow it literally. It can be. Whether we do, it's a different story. So in any case, the first Sabbath law, as we have stated, is concerned with Sabbath of years. Specifically, the observance of the seventh year of rest from farming activities. Now the instruction concerning this really is preceded with what Israel is to do every 6 years, as given in Exodus 23, verse 10 again. Look, I say, for 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops. Now the Israelites were to sow their fields. Now that word sow is translated from a Hebrew word that is used both literally and figuratively. Now literally the word is used for sowing of seed in a field. Figuratively, it is used to describe the connection between an action and its consequence. Now we'll know this. Many people know it, but they ignore it. Every action has its consequence. So it depends on what it is that we do. So it is the word is used figuratively to state the spiritual law of sowing and reaping, as it is used to indicate what a person who sows evil or trouble reaps in Job chapter 4, verse 8. Job chapter 4, verse 8. Job chapter 4, verse 8 reads, as I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. Now it is, of course, used positively for sowing and reaping righteousness or righteous acts, as stated in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18 reads, the wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Nonetheless, the Hebrew word is used literally in our passage of Exodus 23, verse 10, with the meaning of simply to sow seed. To sow seed. Now, the word where it says sow your field, that word field is really translated from a Hebrew word that means earth. Now the word may mean land in the sense of country or territory. Now the word also may mean ground as a dry surface in contrast to body of water, or simply soil or dirt, and some of which can be used for growing plants, as it is used in the curse that will happen to Israel, their soil, if they did not obey the terms of their covenant with their God, as stated in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 20. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 20. He reads, Leviticus 26, verse 20. Your strength will be spent in vain because your soil will not yield its crops, nor will the trees of the land yield their fruit. See, God can bring judgment so that the soil will not produce anything. Now, well, normally we think about if it's too dry, we get into trouble. God can also say, okay, I'm going to send you too much rain. You can't even do anything with it. And too much rain, farmers can't do much either. So he knows which way to go in this sense, so we can't really say. But the issue here is that in our passage, the word that is translated field actually means soil. That is, of course, that material in the top layer of the surface of the earth in which plants can grow. Now, the instruction, for 6 years you are to sow your fields, of Exodus 23 verse 10, required two important implied steps that are necessary for carrying it out. The first implied step necessary to carry out this instruction is clearing the farmlands or fields. The second implied step is that of tilling or breaking the soil. Now it is after Israel had carried these two steps that the people would then implement the instruction where it says, you are to sow your fields. Now the instruction to be carried out is of course yearly, but only for 6 years the people were to carry out the first instruction. The second instruction involves the harvesting of the crops as given next in Exodus 23 verse 10 we're studying, where it says, and harvest the crops. Now that word harvest is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to assemble, so that the word is used in the instruction of Yahweh to Moses concerning bringing together the elders of Israel so he can relate to them God's message of deliverance from Egypt as recorded in Exodus chapter 3 verse 16. Exodus chapter 3 verse 16. It is, go, assemble, that's Hebrew word that's translated harvest, but here it's translated assemble. Assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. Now the word of course may mean to gather in the sense of harvesting of grain, as in God's promise given to Israel about sending rain to them to ensure that they will harvest their grains according to Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 14. Deuteronomy and hold on to Deuteronomy once you get to it. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 14. It reads, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and oil. Now in our passage of Exodus 23 verse 10, the word really is used with the meaning to gather. That is of course to harvest crop. Now the word crops here It's really translated from a Hebrew word that may mean produce. Produce, as it is used to describe what is to be stored in the third year, tithes that Israel is supposed to get for the Levites. They're supposed to every third year store the tithes, and it will be for the Levites and for the economically disadvantaged in Israel. This is according to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28. It is, at the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns. So here, the word crops translate the produce. Now the word may mean grain or income, gain or income. So that if that's which one, those who love money will never get enough of. And so a word is used to say they're never satisfied with money or gains, for say in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. This is, of course, here's a test that you can apply to yourself and see if you love money. So whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. These two is meaningless or incomprehensible. Now in our passage of Exodus 23 verse 10, the Hebrew word means produce or yield from the earth. Hence, it is the produce that is a result of farming activities that the people were to gather each year. Now the instruction to gather or to harvest the produce from the farms of the Israelites does not mean that the people should ignore other instructions regarding the gathering of their crops from their fields. Now I make this point because it is not uncommon for those who read the scripture to focus on a particular instruction while ignoring other instructions that would throw more light on a given instruction. For example, believers are to be helpful to other believers or to other people, but more so their fellow believers, as stated in Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Now, what I'm emphasizing, though, is it is not difficult for some people to just grab one verse and they run with it and don't think about any other part of this scripture. So here we have an instruction that you read it. If you all you think about is that, then you miss the point. So it says here, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Now that's good. So there are those who focus on this command without being careful about the condition of the person that is being helped. Now you see, it is important to help fellow believers, but it is equally important in some cases to determine the reason the believer who is in need being in that situation. For example, if the believer is in need because of laziness or failure to work, now the instruction of sharing what one has with God's people must be governed by what is stated in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. It is for, even when we are with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Now, that's something that has to be applied. Hence, it is important to always be careful in application of the scripture that one does not violate another part of the scripture. Now, this being the case, it is possible that a person in the Israelite community may take the instruction about reaping the produce of the field at the harvest time in such a way that the individual ignores another instruction that limits how the harvesting is to be done, that requires being helpful to the poor, as stated in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22. Now remember that Israel, they are told, more or less, gather your crops. And somebody will do that and forget this. He says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am Yahweh, your God. So you see, Israel could ignore this and they only take the other part. And you know, this is what I usually, in one way, I say selective Christianity in application, or menu-driven Christians. They pick what they like and throw what they don't like. As if the one who gave the one that they don't like is different from the one who gave the one they like. It's not up for us to decide which one to do or not to do. You either completely in or you're not in. You can't be one leg out and one leg in. No, it doesn't work that way. So when you've gone to obey God's instruction, you must do completely what he says. So that is why today we hear a lot of noises being made about Christians. What they, you know, they take one thing in this country, they run with it. Yet, they forget the entire rest of the Bible. Because they have one pet area that they just, that's all they want to talk about. And the other areas don't matter. So anyway, the first instruction is for the Israelites to carry out their normal farming activities every year until the sixth year. Now in doing so, they will ensure that through their hard work, Yahweh will provide their needs. However, there is a more difficult instruction that Yahweh gave to Israel that is given in Exodus 23, verse 11, where we're studying. So the next instruction Yahweh gave to Israel is more difficult than the first that we have considered. Now the difficulty associated with the instruction of verse 11 is really introduced with the word but, that begins the verse. Now that word but is translated from a Hebrew particle that's often translated and in our English versions. However, the Hebrew particle has several other usages. In our passage, it is used to contrast the instruction of verse 11 from that of verse 10. Now, as we have stated, it is easier to obey the instructions of verse 10 than that of verse 11. Now, the instruction of verse 11 requires that people will not carry out the full process involving farming activities, as we read them in the first part of Exodus 23, verse 11, that we're studying. Look at what it says. During the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Now, literally, the Hebrew reads, the seventh year, you will let it rest and leave it fallow. Now, the expression, let lie unplowed, is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to let drop. So it is used in the sense of to throw down, as the word is used in the command of Jehu to his men concerning the killing of Jezebel by hauling her down from her upper room to the ground, as narrated in 2 Kings chapter 9 verse 33. Now, these are some of those things, when you read the Bible, you think through about some things that you have, if you read it sequentially, you think through when what we read here, if somebody saw what happened to this woman and knew nothing about her history or anything about God, would say, man, that is awful thing. God is not being fair to this woman. Look at what this former queen has went through in her death. Except for one thing, she was a vicious woman, and God told her she was going to be, you know, viciously killed too. So here it is, Jehu saying, throw her down. That's a Hebrew word. Throw her down, Jehu said. So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered the wall and the horses as they trampled her underfoot. Now the word may also mean to cancel debt. That is, of course, to release from debt required of the Israelites as it relates to their fellow citizens that should be done every 7 years, according to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 3. It is, you may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your brother owes you. That's in the seventh year. Anyway, in our passage of Exodus 23, verse 11, the Hebrew word means to leave fallow or to let rest. To leave fallow or to leave rest of a land. Now, the word unused in the first part of Exodus 23, verse 11, where it says, during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. that is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to forsake or to abandon, as Gideon used the word to complain to the angel of Yahweh that Yahweh had abandoned his covenant people, the Israelites, as narrated in Judges chapter 6, verse 13. Judges chapter 6, verse 13. Judges chapter 6, verse 13 reads, "Besides," Gideon replied, "if Yahweh is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not Yahweh bring us up out of Egypt?' But now Yahweh has abandoned us and put us into the hands of Midian." He was complaining, "You've abandoned us," and rightfully so, because they went into idolatry. Now the word also may mean to leave or let alone, as in the question of Eliab to David regarding whose care David left their father's sheep when he saw him in the battlefield, according to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. Now, some of this, when you read it, you kind of think a little bit and just see how God works out his plan, even though we don't think about these things. But I'm just going to make you just think a little bit when we read here. It says, "When Eliab, David's oldest brother, had him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, 'Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave?'" That's our Hebrew word. "Did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Now you just think about what he told his younger brother. And when he read, he was trying to protect his brother. That's what he was doing. However, you meditate a little bit. What caused David to come there? See, God was working. God worked because that was his plan, for him to go there. Other human beings interpret it wrongly. This is some of those things that you and I, as believers, we must be careful about. People can misinterpret what God is doing for us or through us. And you should not be so much concerned about people's interpretation, unless it is rooted in the scripture, of course. Anyway, in our passage of Exodus 23, verse 11, the word really means to leave fallow. That is, to let lie unplowed or uncultivated. So this second instruction of leaving the field fallow or uncultivated is quite a challenge, because we are creatures of habit. Now, people who are used to rising early morning every day to walk their fields will find it difficult to break from that habit and be involved in any other kinds of activities that are not related to growing crops. Now, thus, it will be difficult for people to obey this instruction. Now, it's not surprising that Yahweh informed Israel that their land will enjoy its rests when he sends them away for not keeping the terms of his covenant with them. He God said, "Keep that land than farm the seventh year. And they refuse. God said, okay, the land is going to enjoy, obey more or less, enjoy the, what I have said, but you're going to pay the price. And so we have him more or less, this is instruction given in Leviticus chapter 26 verse 34. Leviticus chapter 26 verse 34. He reads, that's when he disciplines them. They say, then the land will enjoy its Sabbath years all the time that it lies desolate and you are in the country of your enemies. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbath. In other words, you refuse to do it, I'm going to do it. How do I do it? Send you all out of that land. So this threat was actually fulfilled during the Babylonian captivity, as we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21 reads, the land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. See, they wouldn't do it. Now God is doing it. See, look at it. Say, all the time of its desolation, it rested. Until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of Yahweh spoken by Jeremiah. So they wouldn't obey what we're studying, so they had to pay. So the land will have its rest by them being in captivity for 70 years. Now we do not know how the Israelites would have obeyed this instruction when they did. Now, it is possible that they applied instruction in a staggered manner so that while they would follow one piece of land, they would then farm another and so alternate every 7 years as the Lord requires. Now, this practice will ensure that the people are still active in farming, which is still a violation of what God says. Of course, it's also possible that God expected them to be involved in other activities such as raising of animals and so avoid the rigor of farming on the Sabbath year. So the point is that no detail is given as to how this law is to be obeyed as it pertains to the following of farmland. So in any case, Yahweh specified a result of the people obeying the instruction of observing the Sabbath year, in which the normal process involved in farming will not be followed. The result is that the poor in the land will have food to eat, as stated in where we study Exodus 23 verse 11, because it reads, then the poor among you, or among your people, may get food from it. Now, as I have stated several times in our study of the Old Testament scripture, it's not always clear in what sense our English versions use the word then to begin a sentence, because the word then may mean at that time, or next, or therefore. Now, this notwithstanding, the word then is translated from a Hebrew particle va that we stated previously is often translated and in our English versions. However, in this verse, it is used to convey result, in which case it may be translated so that or therefore. Now, this interpretation is reflected in some English versions, such as the New English Translation and the New Revised Standard Version, among others. So this interpretation means that a result of leaving a farmland uncultivated is the poor will feed out of the land. As in the sentence, the poor among your people may give food from it. Now that word poor is translated from a Hebrew word that according to the New is a Hebrew word, Ebion. It's according to the dictionary, the New International Dictionary of the Old Testament, Theology and Exegesis, it is used for people who are virtually destitute. The day laborers of the ancient world, now those completely dependent on others for their daily survival. Now, the way I can say it is, when people in this country say, I am poor, they are not saying the same thing as people from what we say the third world and so forth. When they say, I am poor, they're not talking about the same thing. Because I'm poor, yeah, I don't have automobile, I don't have fancy this. Those people, when they say, I am poor, it means, I don't know where my next meal is coming from. That's what they're talking about. So that word is more or less what we have here. That people who are really destitute, I mean, they live day to day. So if they don't have any food or income that day, they will starve. So that's what the poor here means. So when God said to them, you leave it for the poor. So the poor here is a person with very little material possession on this planet. So Yahweh, as the word is used, as Yahweh's promise to Israel, as a condition that will not exist in Israel if the people obey him. In other words, that what I just described of not having food, this should never exist in Israel if they obey his instruction, as it said in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 4. I hold on to Deuteronomy as well. It is, however, there should be no poor among you, for in the land Yahweh your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. That's conditional, because it depends on obedience. Now the word may, the Hebrew word may mean needy, not just poor, but needy, as it is used to prohibit exploitation of the weak of the society, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 14. It reads, do not take advantage of a hired man who is poor and needy. That's a word. Whether he is a brother Israelite or an alien living in one of your towns. Now in our passage of Exodus 23 verse 11, the word is used in the sense of poor people. That is, people without possessions or wealth considered as a group. Now, it's not only clearly specified concerning how, it's not clearly specified how it is that the poor will feed out of the uncultivated land in the year of his race. So the situation seems to be that because the farmland is not cultivated, the owner of the land will not lay claim to whatever grows in the land, and so will not harvest it. Now, this being the case, the poor could help themselves by getting food from the field as individuals without being really involved in some normal process of harvesting produce from the land and without being thought of as stealing from the farmland. Now, so this explanation is really one that helps us to make sense of a seemingly contradictory instruction given later in Leviticus regarding the same law of observing the Sabbath year in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. It reads, "The Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years, sow your fields, and for 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the 7th year, the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to Yahweh. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows itself, of itself, or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself, your manservant, your maidservant, and a hired worker and temporary resident who live among you, as well as for your livestock and the wild animals in your land. Whatever the land produces may be eaten.'" Now the command, look at verse 5, where it says, "Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines," appears then to contradict the clause, "Whatever the land produces may be eaten." So if the instruction of verse 5 is limited to the owner of the farmland, who was not to go through the normal process of harvesting crops from the field, but leaves what is grown for the poor to gather, then there's no contradiction. So then it makes sense that the produce that grows in untended field should be left for the poor without the owner of the land interfering with them, gathering whatever they could from the land. Now in this way, the poor will be benefited by the observance of the Sabbath year in the land of Israel. Now the rest of the result of the owner of the farmland not harvesting what grows naturally, as was stated, implies that the poor should be benefited. The poor still have to work in the sense of gathering what is in the field. They still have to obey God's requirement that people, humans, must work. Now the instruction that we are considering shows really, of course, that God cares for the poor. Now it's not only that it shows that God cares for the poor, but that he cares for animals as well. So this is because the law of the Sabbath, the law of Sabbath year of rest, benefits the animals, as stated in the next clause of Exodus 23, verse 11. Look at what it says. "And the wild animals may eat what they live." So it is true that the stated purpose then for the practice of following a farmland is for the poor and the animals to find food, but there is certainly an implied reason of allowing the land to replenish its nutrients. That involves, of course, nitrogen and other organisms that are necessary for plants, for the soil to be well cared for in a way to take care of, produce good crops. Now, so really, the implication of this benefit is that it is unbiblical to ignore ecology. People don't, they don't They just go one way, they run, and they don't know much of the Bible. This is God's word saying, balance the environment. Balance it. Take care of it. Because those organisms, you don't give them time to recuperate, so to say. So anyway, the law of Sabbath, yeah, extends not only to the farmland, but to the vineyards and olive groves in the last instruction of Exodus 23, verse 11, because he said, do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. So this instruction means that the people were not to prune their vines or grape trees and olive trees, as stated in like we saw in Leviticus 25 verse 3 that we already had read. So the point is that the law of Sabbath year, that although benefits the poor and wild animal, tests the people as to whether they will trust their God to provide for them as a promise. It's not just that you don't do that, it's just, do you trust him enough? Because you say, how am I going to eat? And therefore disobey it. So it is test to see whether they can trust God in what he told them. Thus, we end our study this evening with a reminder of the message of this section, which is, trust that God will provide for you as you do your work, and take time to rest your body while you also devote your time to study and to obey his word. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will continue to challenge us to see the importance of resting our body, being devoted to you, to your word, and obeying you, so that we can enjoy the blessings that you have for us on this planet. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.